We're back, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, as we've seen thus far, the surgery itself represents only one point on this overall journey back to a healthy weight and lifestyle. And all along, the patient's diet is a critical factor. Well, joining us this morning to help us understand more about the dietary and lifestyle changes that are essential for success is Carrie Dahl, a registered dietitian with the Central New York Bariatric Surgery Center at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Carrie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so, you know, once a patient has made this monstrous decision and has undergone the, or has gotten to the point where they know they're going to undertake this, what types of modifications, what do they do? What do they need to do from a dietary standpoint?
From a dietary standpoint, I think it's important that they look at the big picture of their current lifestyle. In other words, looking at things like timing of meals. Do they eat three meals in a day? Many people run about their day, skip meals, and then end up overeating at night. So they need to look at, are they consistent in eating three meals a day? Are they making appropriate food choices? Very, very important. I mean, surgery will change the portion size that you eat, but it won't necessarily ensure appropriate food choices mm-hmm. all the time, and it won't necessarily ensure that you eat three meals a day. Taking besides the food part, exercise, is there a place for it in your current lifestyle? Have you made room for it? Do you know what you're going to do for exercise? Do you know how much to do? That's very important. Surgery definitely doesn't make you jump off the table and exercise. So,
but when you were talking about the three meals a day, mm-hmm. I mean, because I read somewhere that even if you've had this surgery, you can snack throughout the day and end up taking in as many calories as you might have before the surgery.
Correct. It's very important that patients start to listen to their bodies and focus on when they're eating and why they're eating. It's really important that we get a sense of hunger. Are we eating out of hunger instead of out of boredom, stress, loneliness, sadness, etc.? Very important to eat three meals a day and not snack unnecessarily between meals.
So the point is you really have to, as you would if you were not undergoing surgery, if you want to lose weight, you really have to understand what your motivation is toward food and how your relationship with food.
Absolutely. You have to develop a healthier relationship with food and realize that it is to sustain you and that it's very important in your health. And it's something that we do out of hunger to provide good nutrients for our body.
So what happens? Is there, I think we heard once earlier, I think it was last week, that in order to participate in the program, you first have to demonstrate some weight loss. So mm-hmm. are you involved in helping people do that before their surgery?
I am. Mm-hmm. I think that usually if patients make some healthy lifestyle changes, in fact, they eat three meals a day, they start making better food choices, they start modifying their portions slightly, they will actually see that weight loss. So I try not to make it the primary focus, so they're focused on a number and the scale, because they've done a lot of that all their life. I try to make it more about if they make the positive changes that we talk about, they will probably get that 5% weight loss that they're looking for.
So what happens then after so you work with them before the surgery, hopefully they will lose that weight, they mm-hmm. undergo the surgery, mm-hmm. and you continue to work with them. What kinds of things are you doing after the surgery?
If everything has gone well preoperatively and they've done their part and they've focused on getting their meals in place and making appropriate food choices, it gets a little more technical after surgery. So now they're dealing with a decreased stomach size. They have to really be conscientious on the rate at which they eat.
The rate.
They need to chew their food very thoroughly. It's got to go down in an applesauce-like consistency. They have to take several minutes between bites. They are not able to drink and eat at the same time, nor are they able to drink 30 minutes before a meal or 30 minutes after a meal.
Wow, that is technical.
So the technical aspects come into play more so.
How about things like supplements? Is that more important after surgery?
It is very important after surgery because they're limited in what they can eat, the amount of food that they can eat, and maybe the types of food they can eat. They cannot get to maybe the dense meats right away. It's important that they consume protein. So in the beginning, we do that in a form of a protein shake so that it's in liquid form and they can get it down more readily.
So the point is, that's like, how long after surgery are those requirements in place, and forever? I mean, is that a long-term commitment to do those kinds of things, to eat slowly and not
Absolutely.
Drink?
Imperative that they follow those protocols for the rest of their life if they'd like to maintain their success. Because if they begin drinking and eating, they run the risk of flushing out their food. They run the risk of becoming hungrier sooner, and then they end up snacking between meals, which leads to overeating and weight gain. So it's very important they need to eat their food slowly so that they do tolerate what they eat and they do not get sick. So yes, those rules are very important.
No, it's quite a commitment. I mean, one of the things that strikes me, I mean, we have obviously there are success stories, Tony Curcio being one, but it's very much a huge commitment to yourself to really make this change and,
absolutely,
and make a difference.
Absolutely. And like I said, the way you eat, the timing of your meals, the food choices you make, how you eat your food, maybe how you socialize, how you plan, prepare, pack your foods, how you go about activity in your daily life. It's all-encompassing.
But it seems to me a lot of the benefits must outweigh all of this difficulty. So
absolutely.
What are some of the benefits that you've seen with patients?
Oh,
besides the
plethora
actual
of benefits.
Yeah.
Health, as far as health, I mean, diabetes is rectified. Many of them get off a lot of their medications. Just their overall well-being, their mental attitude. They're more positive. They're more confident.
More energy.
More energy, absolutely. Just all around, they are in a much better place. And the things that they have to follow, the things that are a little bit harder, the discipline, is well worth the reward.
Mm-hmm. And so in your experience, what have you seen in terms of the overall positive outcomes? Is that the majority of what you see?
Many positive outcomes, yes. For the most part, people are improved in some way. It's different for everyone. Some people have a goal weight in mind and they consider that success. Other people, you know, they lose weight but they're off all their medications, or they've rectified their diabetes and that was their focus. So in every way, you know, an individual has a different way of maybe measuring success. But I believe they're all successful in some way.
It's wonderful. Well, I appreciate your coming in and sharing this perspective with us on this whole process. And I think that there's a lot for people to think about, and they can hopefully get more information by going on our website. There's a link to the program. And just by going on the Upstate's website, and they can link through the bariatric surgery program as well. Well, my guest has been Carrie Dahl, registered dietitian with the Central New York Bariatric Surgery Center at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air. Stay right there.